I love these guys.
Well, welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. My name is John Drennan. I'm here with my longtime friend and Lions fan, Bill Radford. We're a couple of fans taking the journey to the Super Bowl with the Detroit Lions. And Bill, I know Tony Dungy, former Super Bowl coach, came out recently and talked about how the Lions situation is one he was in with Tampa Bay, where he took a team over and they went to the Super Bowl. And his point was the Lions are close. You know, they're not in a rebuild. They've got a lot of the pieces of the puzzle, and you know, different experts believe that. You and I believe that. But here we are, the week of the Super Bowl. You know, they just had the Pro Bowl activities, the Senior Bowl. So different things are happening as it relates to the NFL. There's different news coming out on players and different suggestions and draft news already. So a lot of things we can talk about. Let's take a few minutes and talk about a few of them. So I'm going to hand it over to you and see what's on your mind.
Well, I just want to thank everybody who's been with us this entire time, no matter what time you picked up, whether it was the very beginning in preseason or somewhere along the way. We're really thrilled that you've chosen to spend some of your time with us. And if you're new, go to the secondhandlionspodcast.com. The secondhandlionspodcast.com.
It's actually the SHL.
Oh, yes, that's right. The SHL podcast.com. The SHL podcast.com. SHL stands for Secondhand Lions. I confused myself. But one of the things that I think is interesting is, you know, when the new offensive coordinator, Petsing, was hired, a lot of people didn't know who he was. He was from Arizona. And another guy that was under consideration for that position was a man named Kafka from the Giants, I believe.
Yeah, Mike Kafka.
Right. We ended up with both of them. So that's exciting. And Jared Goff, this week I read where he's very enthusiastic about Petsing, saying that the offense they're going to run is the things that they do well, which is run the ball, play action pass. Hopefully they'll go deep to J-Mo, and he loves taking care of the tight ends. And so I'm looking forward already to the start of the next season. Hopefully we can avoid a lot of the injuries this season. I've seen articles written about maybe Coach Campbell needs to give up full tackling in the preseason minicamp or exhibition camp stuff before the game start. I don't know what you think about that, but seems like the last three seasons really, injuries have derailed their chances.
Yeah, Bill, that's one of those, there's two sides to the coin. You know, I know the Lions are known for pretty hard tackling during parts of training camp. Some teams don't do that at all due to risk of injuries. On the other hand, Campbell's theory is that really gets us ready to play, and they have been tough and full of grit, not so much as last year. So I don't know. My feelings are they need to know their players, their training staff, and what actually is going on in these practices and decide from there. But I think there's a chance we might hear that this year they cut back a little bit on that. And, you know, you mentioned the coaches like Drew Petsing. I'd never heard of him, but I'd never heard of Dan Campbell, even though he played tight end for a minute for the Lions years ago. And there's a lot of great, great minds and coaches out there I've never heard of. So that didn't impact me at all. It was just interesting that we didn't hear that name in the early conversations. But the more I hear about Drew Petsing, the more excited I am, just what his strengths are. And he's a younger guy, he's very bright, and he could be around several years. And then Mike Kafka, you know, I liked him just watching the Lions almost lose to the Giants. He had taken over the head coaching of the Giants interim there, and I've been impressed with what I know of him. So yeah, we got both of them. And so now, Bill, there's so many rumors and talk and so much stuff going on out there. We just heard that Levi Onwuzurike and Josh Pascal both expect to be back. They're both out all season this year with injuries, and they've had their moments and potential are two good players, but I'm not sure they're, I guess we'll wait and see. There's talk of them re-signing Roy Lopez, who came in for 1 year and did a really good job, a 69 PFF grade as a D tackle. But Bill, two things I've been thinking about. One is what happened to Wingo. I think his first name's Meta. He's a LSU defensive lineman brought in a couple of years ago. He was hurt most of the year. He played some this year, but I'm wondering, like, where's Wingo? What's the status there? We don't hear anything. And then I had this thought, Giannabi Manu, who was drafted 2 years ago as a D tackle, 6'7", 350 pounds, just a stud of a human specimen, struggling to make it as a tackle offensively. And I got thinking, wonder if they've considered putting him at defensive tackle. That body and that athleticism, maybe that takes a little less skill than blocking as a tackle, but they know a lot more than I do, but I just had that thought.
Yeah, it was funny when you said, "Where's Wingo?" It reminded me of the game, "Where's Waldo?"
Yeah, exactly.
He's
I can't find him. Don't hear about
wearing a striped sweater.
him. But everything I've heard, Wingo, they're pretty high on, and at least was a pretty good positional player.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to look forward to. I think this was just a hiccup, and what I'm hoping, John, is. Remember, I think it would be not the last Super Bowl. It'd be three Super Bowls ago. The Eagles got to the Super Bowl and they lost to Kansas City. Then they sort of hit a rut the next year. They made the playoffs, but they were out in the first round. And the Lions were 15-2, and by all rights, they should have got there, but they didn't. And then last year, this current season, they hit a rut. I'm hoping, like the Eagles, they'll bounce back and be on their way to championship form again. I'm looking forward to the season. I'm looking forward to seeing who they draft. And you told me you'd heard some things about a mock draft. What did you hear?
Yeah, and Bill, I'll answer that, but your comments about that they hit a bump, and by all rights, they're right there. It kind of reflects what I said earlier, and I agree. I think the fix is pretty straightforward, and anything I'm going to say is no brilliance on my part. It's what everybody's saying. They need an offensive coordinator, and I think they've made a good pick, but time will tell. They need to. Their O line went from A minus to C. They need to get it up to at least a B to a B plus. But I think they
Right.
can do that. So let's talk about the draft. I heard Matt Miller from ESPN's mock draft has the Lions' first two picks. Number 17 pick, first round, is Kedrick Falk, who's an edge out of Auburn, 6'6", 285, and a stud. Now, I like the idea of an edge at the 17th pick because there are some really good edges, and the Lions could get one at 17. And the idea of a stud opposite Hutch is exciting. Then they've got the 50th pick, and Mark Miller or Matt Miller suggests Max, and I don't know this guy at all. Ihinichak, he's a tackle, offensive tackle from Arizona State, 6'5", 220, and described as a plug-in tackle. Now, obviously, we need to tackle if Decker retires or is let go. But we need one even if he isn't.
I heard a
And
rumor, John, that if they draft that gentleman you're referring to, what's his name again?
let's just call him Max.
Okay. If they draft Max, they might consider moving Sewell to the left tackle.
Well, and I've heard that, Bill, regarding a lot of potential right tackles. And apparently, everyone thinks that'd be no problem. Sewell's a great athlete. He can play either side. He might even play left tackle in college. So I think which tackle he plays doesn't matter. I know the importance of left tackle is you're defending that right-handed quarterback from the edge rusher from that side. So it's really significant. So yeah, they're looking at a number of right tackles, I think. And by the way, Bill, this year's draft is also deep in tackles, offensive tackles. So two positions we really need, edge and tackle. But
We
the
also
other
need defensive backfield because we have no idea if Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch are going to make it back.
Yeah, so back to the fix formula, offensive coordinator, check. We definitely need another good edge and a tackle. I see those coming from the draft, but what else do we need? So let's go with what you just said. We may be starting next year without Kirby Joseph or Brian Branch. We need safeties, and I say plural. Now, we had some good fill-ins, Thomas Harper. I think he'll be signed and back. And then I'm drawing a blank. Maddox, pretty good. But these guys aren't, the starter type level safety. So I'm looking at get a safety in free agency and get a safety in the draft. Pick up two. And what else do we need? Because this to me is where I would start. Free agency, we need a center that can come in and anchor. Not a rookie, but a guy that's, 26, 27. People are high on the potential of picking up the Carolina Panthers center, who's a free agent this year. I believe he allowed no sacks this season and is a very steady player at center. So I think in free agency, Bill, we get a starting center that just checks that box and a decent safety. Then in the draft, we get the edge, we get a tackle, we get another safety, and we still have some later round picks to maybe pick up another safety, a cornerback, a linebacker. But I don't think we're that far away.
I've heard rumors of, and these could just be, these days people just put rumors out there just so they can get clicks. But I've heard rumors about Max Crosby trade. Don't know how accurate that is, but that would be.
I like how you preface that because I was actually going to mention earlier, there's so much stuff in the wind out there. And so I shared, for example, a mock draft that I think makes a lot of sense, but I was going to use the example of people who say, well, we'll get what's his name from the Browns? They're great defense.
Miles Garrett.
Yeah, Myles Garrett or Max Crosby. No, we aren't. You can't. The only way we're going to get them is we give up Jahmyr Gibbs and, Penei Sewell. We're not going to get them. Here's why, folks. They cost too much. The Lions just can't do that. That's what happened when the Packers got Micah Parsons. Everybody, not everybody, but you had the people out there saying, why didn't the Lions? Well, no, couldn't do it. But I hear he may be going somewhere. It's not going to be the Lions. But wouldn't that be cool? He played at Eastern Michigan. His goals be the best ever at his position, opposite Hutch. That would be cool.
I just want to briefly mention, John, that once Bill Belichick was snubbed by the Hall of Fame, and they did the same thing to Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, and Since he's owned the Patriots, I think there's been like 31 or 32 Super Bowls, and the Patriots have been in 10 of them. So almost a third, which is just astounding. And you and I would just, we'd give blood to have the Lions be in a couple of them. But
Yeah, do a word association game. Say Super Bowl, and the other person will say New England Patriots. Say
right.
Patriots, you say Super Bowl. So
Right,
you're
right.
right.
Yeah, and they've been to the Super Bowl with three different coaches and three different quarterbacks. Of course, nine of
Seattle.
those or eight of those are with Brady.
Right.
Eight or nine,
Well,
yeah.
it's interesting, Bill. Same for Seattle. They've been in three Super Bowls, each with that different coach quarterback combo. In fact, I had to be reminded of this one. One of those combos was, you remember Hogren? I'm forgetting. Homrun. And his
Holmgren and
Homgren and the quarterback.
who was he?
Hasselbeck.
Oh yeah, I remember him. He was famous for the year before they played the Packers in a playoff game, and it went to overtime. The Seahawks won the toss, and he said, "We're going to take the ball and win." And his first pass was a pick six. Slightly embarrassing.
Little bit different than the Joe Namath prediction of the third Super Bowl.
Right. So, John,
So,
I just want to mention, we're Detroit sports fans. The passing of Mickey Lolich, the hero of the 1968 World Series, pitched three complete games. The last one, game seven in St. Louis on 2 days rest. And against Bob Gibson, arguably one of the greatest pitchers ever, and the Tigers won 4-1. He passed away. It was either today or yesterday, and he provided some great memories for Tigers fans.
oh, he sure did, and especially in our age group. Bill, I was in school, elementary school, or not element, let's see, 68. I was in like
Junior high.
junior high in Plymouth. I think you were somewhere in maybe Westland or
I was in Garden City in
that's
grade
right.
six.
And so did they let you out of school for the
No,
World
they
Series?
did not.
Oh, they did for us.
I begged my dad to stay home, and he wouldn't let us. We had to go to school, and he told me years later that that's a decision he regretted.
Well, good for him. Because that was admitting failure.
Right. Right. So,
I remember that well, that lineup and that series against a very good St. Louis Cardinals team. So many Hall of Fame great players in those two teams.
yeah, that was the year Denny McClain won 31 games.
Yep, and then Lolich was the hero of the.
Hero in the World Series.
Yeah.
So we got the Super Bowl coming up. I think we're both going to pick Seattle, so maybe we should pick scores too.
Yeah, I got my score. I had it ready last week, but that was a week early. And Bill, as the years gone by, the Seahawks have grown and grown on me as I've seen just how good they are at all aspects. I've got the Seahawks beating the Patriots 35-24.
And I got them winning 31-17.
Okay.
I will
You
be
go.
very surprised if the Patriots beat them.
Yeah, likewise. And nothing against the Patriots. That's just a very strong Seattle team.
Yeah. Patriots are going to be good, I think, for a few years. They have a great coach. They have a great quarterback who could be this year's MVP, although I think the odds on favorite is Matthew Stafford. And I really think, even though we both picked Seattle to beat the Rams, I think the Rams are a better team. And if they didn't muff a punt, they probably win that game.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way before the game, even though I picked Seattle. But after the game, I thought, you know, they're really good, but they're the cream. So,
Just a little better.
yeah. I
I
do
saw
love. Go ahead.
their coach of the Rams commiserating yesterday online. Somebody posted it that he had said that loss was harder to take for him than the Super Bowl loss to the Patriots.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And what's his name? I'm drawing a blank.
I'm Sean McVay.
And the people on the panel that were discussing it, one guy said, "I can't believe that the Super Bowl is more important." But somebody else brought up, that he was a young coach. He was up against Bill Belichick, and he admitted he got out coached, so he was kind of on a learning curve and probably very happy that they got there. But this time he thought he had the best team. And he commiserated a couple of the calls he made, like going for it on fourth down when they could have kicked a field goal. And then at the end of the game there, they could have kicked a field goal to tie or win even. But when you make those decisions, you always think you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the lessons of sports. You know, you got to decide, and then, boy, the rear view mirror sure is becomes big.
Sure does too. And I remember you, an unrelated thing, talking about too many people, their rear view mirror is as big as their windshield.
Yeah.
And if you want to be successful, you gotta keep that rear view mirror in its place.
Yeah, I mean, I've used that analogy a lot. The windshield's much bigger than the rear view mirror for a reason. Every now and then you check the rear view mirror to maybe double check your course, but man, keep your eye forward. But I'll tell you, Sean McVay, there's a coach that's gonna be here a while. He could be in LA a long time. He's a good one. Speaking of coaches, any updates on the carousel? Let's see. Did the Raiders go ahead and hire? I think they hired the coordinator from Seattle.
Seattle. Well, they can't make it official until after the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. Okay, and then we're still left with what? The Browns? No, they hired the D coordinator from the Ravens. It seems like there's one other team that doesn't have a head coach.
Yeah, I can't think of them right now.
The Dolphins?
No, I think they got somebody.
Oh, they got the guy from Green Bay.
Right.
Okay, well, if this was a live show with people calling in and texting in, we'd have the answer. Oh, Titans. Have they hired a coach?
I do not know.
All right, well, Bill, there's a little more news. You know, the NFC North, we did make the point before that Green Bay's D coordinator did move on, and I think he's the head coach of the Dolphins, I believe. And then
Cool.
Minnesota fired their GM a couple weeks ago, and he was considered a real bright analytic guy. And that was a surprise to most people in the NFL, most fans at least. So Minnesota's looking for a new GM.
Yeah, and they went with McCarthy and I heard somebody say, well, they won their last four games. What more did they expect from a rookie quarterback than they got? So why would you fire the GM?
Yeah, and the other part of that story, you know, a lot of people in Minnesota got to be asking, why did you get rid of Sam Darnold? But the fact is, he Chances are he wasn't going to have the year in Minnesota he had in Seattle. I mean, there's so many factors, and Minnesota put a stake in the ground that JJ McCarthy can be their future QB. And of course, it's a business. There were a lot of money considerations. There's a lot that goes into those decisions, but I still think JJ can be the franchise quarterback for the Vikings. Give 2 more years to make that final decision, I think. Anyhow, you got anything else?
Just trying to find out if there are any other teams that haven't hired a coach, and I think it's just the Raiders.
Okay.
I just did a quick perusal, but no, I think that's it. I think that Super Bowl should be interesting. The one disappointment about living in Canada is we don't get the good commercials. So the Canadians put their own in there. I guess they don't want to pay the freight. But I've enjoyed this very much, John. Hopefully, next year will be the year the Lions go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and folks, I know Bill started off by, thanking our listeners, and we did kick this off during training camp a week before the Hall of Fame game, which the Lions were in, adding one game to their one more thing, Bill. Speaking of that, I did hear, I think in the NFL meetings, there's going to be a discussion of dropping one exhibition game and adding one more regular season game to take it to 18.
Yeah, I heard that too. I don't think it's this year, though.
No, I don't either, and there's got to be a lot. At some point, you start tearing your product down if you
Right.
overdo it. So, I'm not sure 17 games was a good move, but time will tell.
All right, John,
Anyhow.
it's good to be with you. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yep, we'll be back next week to talk about the Super Bowl, and no doubt between now and then there will be a lot of rumors and maybe some changes and updates. So, Bill, appreciate doing this with you. See you next week.
All right.
Bye for now.